Okay, so in Chayesara, a very fascinating story of how Eliezer Eved Avram finds Rivka at the well, and she's a great person of chesed, which matches Avraham's personality. We don't know anything about Yitzchak's chesed, so it's kind of awkward. It's like, I've talked about this before, of how Rivka might be a replacement for Yitzchak's mother. In certain senses, like in this parsha, we find that he's very consoled only once he marries Rivka for his mother's death. Now, I'm not trying to get Freudian on you or anything like that, but that there is a symbolism of a female figure in Yitzchak's life. But also, Rivka is a chesed person. Sarah was a chesed person married to Avram, who ran to greet these guests. That's the story that we know of that absolute chesed. So Rivka, as that kind of like figure of chesed, is in some way a replacement for his mother, or maybe you just call a close female figure in his life. Although what's interesting is that at the end of his life, they're at loggerheads with each other, right? Because Rivka loves which son? Yaakov. And Yitzchak loves Esav. Now Chazal, Yitzchak would have loved Yaakov if he wasn't blind, figuratively and physically, but that's the
blind or lucky.
What?
Figuratively,
figuratively, he was blind to his son's good qualities, and also was physically blind, right? What? Yeah, right. So the Chazal understand that if he would have seen Esav's murderous and activities that he did during the day and his shvichas damim and avodah zara and his.
Don't Chazal say that when Rivka, when Yitzchak married Rivka, everything that Sarah, the bread and the stuff.
Exactly,
and all that came back.
She took over, as kind of the matriarch of the family. And it's just interesting the comparisons and the contrasts. And isn't it a better, it's fitting that Avraham was trying to marry off his son and found, and had Rivka. Because if Yitzchak would have sought out his perfect partner, perhaps he wouldn't have picked the most chesed person. We don't know about Yitzchak's chesed. We don't know of him. We don't really know anything about him. But we don't know of him as this absolute chesed person. We know of him as very isolated. We know of, for example, Shaddal talks about when it says that he first meets Rivka, right? He's lasuach basadeh. And Shaddal accepts the interpretation that, what does it mean he was lasuach basadeh? Some say he was wandering in the field. So Rashi says that he was lishpoch sicho, he was praying to God. So Shaddal, interestingly, accepts that kind of Rashi perspective that he was doing some kind of religious meditation. And that was his, and why was he coming from Be'er Lechai Ro'i? Because maybe, Shaddal says, maybe that was where Yitzchak recognized spiritual experiences happened. What else happened at the Be'er Lechai Ro'i? Why is it called Be'er Lechai Ro'i? Because Hagar saw an angel there. So Shaddal actually accepts the idea that that maybe Yitzchak was seeking out religious experiences and was an isolated individual in that sense. The Netziv has an unbelievable read of the personalities of Rivka and Yitzchak. He points out that at the very moment that Rivka sees Yitzchak, what does she do? Does anybody know? She's riding a camel. What happens?
She
falls off of it. At least that's the pshat, right? She falls off the camel.
Get a rom-com.
Exactly. Well, the Netziv says that her first view, her first impression, and what would end up being a lasting impression for her of Yitzchak was this ultimate tzaddik that she's shocked by. She has to. She sees the greatness in this man, but also, that's a very high level. And for the rest of her life, she never communicates fully with him, says the Netziv. This is a very psychological kind of read, that they never truly meet eye to eye because she looks up to him, right? And so her perspective is that he is too lofty and too aloof for her to be able to have a true married, one-to-one relationship with, which is to the detriment of their relationship, right?
Why would she go against what Yitzchak would want?
Oh, that's interesting, right? Why does she disagree? I guess she sees that Yitzchak is wrong in that instance where he favors Esav. I don't know what the Netziv says of what the causes for that, if he just supports Chazal, or maybe he has a different understanding of it, but that little snippet of the Netziv is like such an amazing, like he brings together the whole relationship to explain the rest of it, right? And he explains Yitzchak's personality that we don't know much about as someone who is just like aloof, lasuach basadah. That's why it's being emphasized, and that's why she falls off the donkey. Like everything comes together. Okay, what did Shadal say in what did I want to talk about? I wanted to talk about how it's right. There's a problem that I think modern readers have with a bunch of the Eved Avram is having a discussion with the family of Rivka to marry her off. And Rivka is not part of that discussion. Now, whether it's because she's 3 years old or because women just generally don't get a say in who they get married to, per se, well, that doesn't happen in this week's parsha because she is offered the chance to say no. And I think that's significant. Right? Let me say it again. They have a long discussion. Eliezer tells the family why he thinks she's the best fit and who Avram is and how their family and everything. And what happened in the whole story, how it's such a miracle, what happened, that he was waiting for somebody and he had made a neder, and boom, there she pops up and how amazing she was. And then they're like, great, okay, let's do this thing. And they said, first, let's ask Rivka. And that's, I think, amazing. I think that's really great. So let's read that pasuk inside.
You can like possibly read that as if like they really didn't want to do it, and they're trying to find, like, they don't have a good reason to. So if they can get her to say no.
Meaning they were really trying to stop this deal from happening? Okay, I don't know why, but I don't know if there's hints in the test.
The Midrash were like, they try to kill him.
No, steal from him, no?
No, they try to poison Eliezer. Oh, is that? The lobster chews the bowls.
I don't remember that Midrash. That's interesting. Okay, so...
that's how they're supposed to mention it.
So, okay, let's just read this part, okay, in the Pesuk. It says, in Chaf Dalet Nodzayin, Vayomer Nikra Lenara, they said, let's call for the girl. V'nish'ala et pia, let's ask her what she wants. Nunchet V'yikrulu Rivka, they call to Rivka, V'yomeru, and they say, Elah to her, Hatelchi im ha'isha zed, do you want to go with this man? V'atomer, and she says, Elech, yeah, I'll go with him. Right? She gets to say, her wet nurse comes with her, which is interesting, right? That indicates that she's young. And so does Avram's servant and his people. They all go, and then there's like saying goodbye, okay? The family says goodbye to Rivka. Okay, so let's see what Shadal says. Shadal says in, I have two versions here. It's interesting. Ksav Yad Yaf and Ksav Yad Yachaf. Who are the Yaf and who is the Yachaf? So the reason why this edition is so great is that he pulls together the various manuscripts that were used to create the printed version that happened after Shadal passed away. He passed away in 1865, and they published it in something like the 1870s. So he wasn't alive to see the actual parish get published. And various manuscripts were used, meaning to say notes that the students took in yeshiva and different editing stuff. And sometimes you see vast differences. We've seen some of that already. And so these are the Pardo brothers. Pardo family was these very close students of Shadal. So Yaf and Yachaf. You have to look up which one is just the Yud and which one is the Yud Chet of the Pardo brothers. Okay. So here's what the Ksav Yad Yaf says. I don't know what's actually printed. You're going to have to look into that, I guess. Hatelchi ema isha zeh. Do you want to go with this man? So here's what Ksav Yad Yaf says. Lo yita kein, she shalu ota et ritzona. It can't be that they were asking what she wanted, li nasei li Yitzchak, if she wanted to be married to Yitzchak. Miyakshu kvar amru me Hashem yetzei davar. After they had already declared, wow, this must be from God. How could they say that? How can it be that they were really asking for her opinion if they had already done her? This is so amazing. Gamnir, so Shadal denies my feminism. And he says, Gamnir, Shalaya minhaka kadmonim, lisholit pi benehem, ubnotem binyanzeh. And also he points out that I was saying it was feminism because I think that's amazing. But Shadal says, that was not the minhag. That's not how people, they never asked their children if they wanted to get married. The parents made the decisions all by their lonesome about who their kids would marry. Right? The fact that Avram's servant was looking for Yitzchak, does Yitzchak know anything about this journey? Does Yitzchak know about it? I don't know, probably. But according to Shadal, whoever Eved Avram would have picked would have been the wife of Yitzchak, and Yitzchak had no say. Meaning to say that although Shadal has removed my feminism, he's restored equality among men and women, because he said it wouldn't have been her choice, and it also wouldn't have been his choice. Right? Thank God, nowadays, and also in the time of Chazal.
Does the mother get any say in it?
That's also true, I guess. The mother maybe doesn't get a say. But you should realize that what's the reason why? What's the reason why you have to meet your wife before you get married to her? In Jewish law, it's a Jewish. It might even be a deoraita. You have to meet your wife before you get married. So right, exactly. You have to make sure that the risk says this is the beginning of the second parak of kiddushin. The risk that Chazal were worried about is that you would see her on your wedding day. She's all dressed up, has nice makeup on, and you find something disgusting with her. Or it's not even on the wedding day, a few days later, let's say. Like, you say, I don't like this woman, right? And then you get divorced, or you break off the wedding. And that would be very embarrassing for her. So Chazal say, what's that a violation of? I think it's an unbelievable application of this pasuk. What pasuk does that violate if you don't put in your effort to make sure to not embarrass her, to not hurt her in this way? You know what it is? The avta l'reicha kamocha. Unbelievable. Chazal are using avta l'reicha kamocha, I think, in a very literal sense, because when we say you should love your fellow as yourself, it means treat them nicely. But when Chazal are using it in this context, I believe it's v'avta l'reicha kamocha is referring to you should love her, I think. Or at least not hate her, not think of her as disgusting, which on the flip side of that might be love. Okay, but anyway, so Chazal clearly in the halacha clearly says you have to. You have to actually meet her. You actually have to know her. It has to be your opinion. There's no such thing as a kiddushin bal karcha. You cannot marry a woman against her will. And nowadays, because of Takana Gershom, you also can't divorce her against her will as well. Okay. So, Shadal hasn't solved. Okay, then what is it? What is the reason why she's being asked here to go with this man? Do you want to go with this man? So he says, Ele hatam kedivrei Rashbam. He says, the reason is, according to the Rashbam, which is like the opinion of the Rashbam, he means, Hatelchi atam miyad ima yisha zeh. Do you want to go immediately alongside him? Because you don't have to go with him. You could wait a while. You can stay home for a little while, prepare your stuff, pack your bags, and then join join the family when is fitting for you. Do you want to stay for a little while? Lachet achar zman imacherim, to go with other people. Okay, that's what he suggests. That's manuscript number one. Let's quickly read manuscript number two. It might line up. I don't know. I haven't checked it until right now. So he says, "Venirli, it seems to me, ki ba amram elav tashev hanara itanu, velo amrulo shava imanu." What did the family want? Did they actually want to send her with him for right immediately? So there's a suggestion earlier. Hey, maybe she could stay for a little while. She could stay with us. Yamim o asur. It says yamim o asur, which is hard to translate. So days or ten, right? What does that mean? So Shadal over there, like that's the earlier pasuk that's in Nun Hay, says it means yamim means a year, and exactly 10 or 10 months, right? So he says maybe their intention was to actually keep her. They wanted to keep her around for a little while, and so when they said hatelchi, they were saying stay a while, right? Do you want to go now? Or do you want to stay a while? Okay, va'eved yelech v'yashuv. Maybe the Eved Avram, he would go and he would come back. And he responded, right, Al Tachru Oti, don't delay me, I want to go back. Remez Lahem, he was trying to say, Eved Avram, Ki lo yamush misham ad sheitnu lo, that he wouldn't go anywhere until he was able to bring her, right? He didn't want to come home empty-handed. That's when they decided they would indeed send her immediately, at least they would ask her. But I can prove this. Another evidence for this is Masha Amru LeRivka, how Telchi, they asked her if she wanted to go. He says, right, again, and he says, since it can't be that, right, this is a different formulation of kind of the same idea. Since it can't be that they're asking whether she wanted, rather it was clear that they wanted to delay her going for a little while, but it was ultimately up to her whether she wanted to go with him, because Eved Avram refused to move until he would come home with her. So whether that took a long time or whether it didn't, he wanted to come home with her Akshav Umiyad as much as possible. No more of this. Okay, so I think the lesson is that, you know, this pasuk can go in a lot of different directions. Were they asking for her das? I think it's obvious to me. I think that it's the Torah is being progressive in this way, that it was giving her the choice. Whether you have to read it like that, Shadal instead reads it as taking away her choice, but not only that, taking away Yitzhak's choice and realizing that neither of them had the choice. It was always from the parents. And thank God the progression of halacha in society has allowed us to, you know, be much more, I don't know if you call it progressive, but make sure that husband and wife meet each other beforehand. In a different culture, a different time, maybe it would be different. There's a house episode like this with a Jewish couple that met each other once before they got married or something, and the Jewish doctor in the house episode was discussing maybe it's worth it, maybe it's good to be able to not have expectations before the marriage and learn everything about the person when you get married to them. And other people are disagreeing, obviously, you know, based on society, it's common for people to live each other for a very long time before they get married.
There was a TV show, a reality TV show about that, that my mother used to watch called Married at First Sight, which is you have willing participants get married.
And see how it works out.
Yeah, it works out, yeah.
There's some evidence that, like, Indian set-up marriages last for a very long time because they don't have a high expectation that we are 100% compatible because they were being set up by their parents. So there's something to be said for it. I'm not supporting it. You know, Halacha doesn't go like that. But I think it's interesting to think about as you guys, like, go in, out into the world and create relationships and hopefully get married one day, that you will, meet your wife beforehand. And so make sure that you have that close relationship as well. Shkoyach.